Hey man, say man, hey man, say man. Welcome back to the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to my other YouTube channels. Don't forget to follow me on social media. Where we going today? We starting today. You know how we always started out. We going over the stats, how the stats looking after the first week of NBA basketball. So here are the leaders. Luka Doncic is the leader in points per game. Luka Doncic is the leader in points, total points, points per rebounds per game is Rudy Gobert. Defense assists per game is Chris Paul with 10.8. Assist total is Tyrese Halliburton as well. I feel like Tyrese is one of the most underrated playmakers in the NBA. Honestly, he might be one of the most underrated players, period. I think it's because they're in the Midwest, and you know, Indiana really isn't a huge, actually not a big market. I ain't even gonna say it's not even a huge market, it's not a big market. It's a very small, medium-sized market, and I don't think people really understand. Like, they actually got, I don't know, they may have something down there. I know they got some with Tyrese and Bennegate, but I don't know. They talk about trading Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, they've been saying that for the longest. Steals per game, DeLon Wright with 2.8, which is insane. At the time, I thought it was DeJounte. He must have took his spot. Blocks per game is actually Brook Lopez, who's averaging 3.6 blocks per game. That's crazy. Field goal percentage is on Yeko Okongwu from Atlanta Hawks, my favorite team. Free throw percentage, we got a couple people at 1,000%. We got Shea, Jalen, Miles, and Patrick Beverly, that's funny. 3-point percentage, you think it's Curry? You think it's Clay? You think it's Jordan Poole? No, it's Grant Williams with 66%. They need to pay that, man. Stop playing. 2-point field goal percentage is Brandon Clark with 74%. Nice. Effective field goal percentage is Onyeka Okongwu with 72%. True shooting percentage is Bojan, who's been playing outstanding this year, who just got a nice little side decent contract to an extension. At first, I was surprised they went after Bojan, because you know they still they trying to compete, of course, but they still in the rebuilding phases, and I feel like Bojan probably would have maybe want to win somewhere else that has more challenge to win, like I don't know, but anybody else that, you know what I'm saying, that could fire you. Because every team in the league can use his ability to score the ball. Clearly, you see he can shoot the damn ball. He was, the third option on a Utah team? Actually, it's time he was the second option. I feel like he's more the third option or the fourth best player, third or fourth best player. And he's looking like a freaking bucket. So that just shows you dudes that's fringe starters can still get buckets just depending on what situation they in and who the coaching and how the team's put around them. It just shows you that people can put in the right situation, they can bring their talent out the best. He leading the true shooting percentage. Field goal is Luka, and field goal attempt is Luka. 2-point field goals is Luka. I don't think y'all really care about like field goals, but still, they made the most threes though with 34, and the most attempts with 86. Damn, Trey got the most field goals missed with 85. Free throws is Kevin Durant. Free throw attempts is Luka. Minutes played is Tyrese Maxey. It doesn't seem like he don't get involved. I know he just dropped 40 last game, but I feel like he still should get involved a little bit more. Personal fouls, Jared Vanderbilt and Kelly Olynyk. Turnovers tied with LeBron, Donovan Mitchell, Bam. Dang, Bam, 25 turnovers, that's crazy. Minutes per game is Donovan Mitchell and Kyrie. I'm not going to even get started on Kyrie. Player efficiency rating is Luka Doncic, 35.9. Win shares is 1.5 for Luka. Offensive win share is 1.2 for Luka. Defensive win share is 0.5 for Rudy Gobert. So he's still a great defender, even though Minnesota had me look like greatest defensive team, but I still don't like that pairing with him and Cat, who was a... See, it works with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley because they both are great defenders, and they both can switch, and they can guard multiple positions. Rudy Gobert cannot guard multiple positions, and Cat can't even guard his own position, so I don't like that defensively. Chris Finch, sorry for you. Win shares per 48 is Giannis with 33%. Box plus minus is the highest for Giannis with 13.7, which is crazy. Offensive block plus minus is Ja Morant, who leads 9.6, which I can definitely see because Ja is that offensive engine. Either him or Luka or Trey. Trey ain't that much this year. They love players. Other people playing better this year. Box plus minus for defense is Giannis with 5.1. Value over replacement is Luka with 0.8. Usage goes to the highest for Luka with 40.9. Defensive rating is the highest for Giannis, 98 solid. Offense rating is Nick Richards because he had that one great game versus the Hawks, so I'm not even stunning him. But total rebound percentage is Kevin Love. That is surprising. Ain't even defensive rebound percentage when he come off the bench, so that's kind of weird. Assist percentage is Luka Doncic with 51.5. Offense rebound percentage, now this is a good stat, Nick Richards 18.9. That is insane. Steal percentage, De'Anthony Melton 4.8. Turnover percentage for the lowest, Jalen Noel. And block percentage is Bobo. I be telling y'all, Bobo be getting so many blocks on the perimeter. I swear he get like 2 a game, and it's just crazy to watch how good that boy is and how good he's playing this year. It's fun to watch the match, like I did on the last podcast. Most most exciting teams. He been going crazy. The whole team been going. Even they honestly don't even have a true point guard right now, because Jalen Suggs and Cole, and I think Cole Anthony is hurt as well, and they still been going crazy without having two good point, actually have two solid point guards. I mean, RJ Hampton come off the bench. He's the backup point guard, but and Terrence Ross has been streaky this year, and he's still going crazy. But so, hey man, that's the, now we're gonna get into our next segment. See how I'm getting stuff together, I'm getting stuff, the podcast down together, I'm getting everything right. So next segment is gonna be called Four Quarters. So basically we're gonna go over like four things that have happened throughout the week that I like to discuss, that I like to see, that I've seen, that's intriguing to me, you know what I'm saying? So four quarters here we go. First quarter, we're gonna talk about, see, we talked about the rookies last week, and we talked about Benedict Mathurin. We talked about the Houston Rockets. I think we talked, that was last week. Yeah, Houston Rockets, Autumn Boy. We talked about them, team that's been playing their butt off. But this week, we're going to talk about the Lakers, man. First quarter, we talk about Lakers. Now, I was trying not to talk about the Lakers until they got a win. I didn't want to be that person that was just been harping down on the Lakers, harping down on Russell. Even though I feel like Russell has had a couple good games, definitely last game. But they finally got their win, which I love to see, which they were the last winless team, so that was amazing to watch. Russell played good, and I've been wanting this. Hopefully, Russell can go into this role, but I feel like him coming off the bench and controlling the second unit, having more control over the offense, having more ability to be that, not star, but that person that he wants to be, and his able to play inside himself, I feel like that looks so much better than him starting and trying too hard, trying to find his way with AD. And with AD and LeBron out there. But I mean, he still got to play with AD and LeBron. But you know what I'm saying? Like, he has more leeway to do like what he want to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, some of the offense can run through him. He can get open for cuts. He can get open. He can tell. He like the leader of the bench, basically. And that's what you want to see. That's what he used to, his style as being, is being the leader, or being like the veteran person on the court, or being just going through me type stuff. You know what I'm saying? He got to touch the ball. So it's glad to see that. I'm glad to see him. He actually looked happy last game, which was amazing to watch. Now, that's one of the main things, like, people don't understand. Like, all these players are good at basketball. Every single one of these dudes are good at basketball. But if the person doesn't have that confidence in themselves, or they're lacking it, or something is like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's like one of the main, that's like really the only few things you can take away from a basketball player, because they all can shoot the lights off. You leave them open, they're going to hit shots. But leaving, not having that confidence and not instilling that confidence within a player isn't a good solution. And see, he looked more confident last game, which was always nice. And not just talk too much about Russell. We all know everybody hates Russell. Besides, a lot of people hate Russell. I don't hate Russell. I still think he's one of the greatest players to ever touch a basketball in history. So enough about Russell. Let's talk about some of the other players that's been hooping. Lonnie Walker has been going crazy. Like, he has been a little streaky at times, but he's been going crazy on defense. His shot is starting to fall a little bit better. His like ability to get to the rim, like, he like that other option to get to the rim. Like, his athleticism is crazy. That boy is crazy. I don't know. His athleticism is crazy. Shot, like I said, it's gonna get better. Shot's gonna get better. Defense, he's been decent at defense is actually a lot better than a lot of people give him credit for. I feel like the Lakers are one, from what I see, it's like they are one of the best teams in defensive. And they give up a couple dumb stuff here and there, and they give up bad plays, but I feel like this team is like, they can force turnovers. Like, when they locked in, they can force turnovers. They can do things that allows them to be forced on defense, allows them to get easy buckets on offense, because the offensive end doesn't look as well. But you need to get easy buckets from the defensive side to lead to easy offensive buckets. So that's what I like to see. LeBron is LeBron. LeBron been doing his thing, man. What can we say, LeBron? I see some people like KG and Paul Pierce hating on AD. AD's averaging double-double. I feel like he's actually pretty decently doing his thing this year. He averaged 2 steals, 2 blocks. Well, he's probably up for defensive player of the year. Which I want him to average 30 and 18. Like, what, he's been doing his thing. He's been solid. Even with that back injury that's been holding him back. You know what I'm saying? He's still hurt. Like, he's not healthy. Clearly, he's not healthy, because he always grabbing his back for like every game. He's grabbing something every game. So he's not injured per se, but he isn't healthy. He's definitely hurt. So it's good to see him out there hooping and actually like being the AD that we want him to see. Like, sometimes, of course, you still want him to be a little more aggressive than what he is, but I feel like he's still getting back in basketball shape, man. It's like, how you expect somebody to just come out here to just play like 40 minutes a game, just do all you need to do, be a defensive anchor? Because he has to be the defensive anchor. He's playing, I know he don't want to play center. I know he don't. And he's playing center a lot more than he wants to play. So he's being a defensive anchor. Plus, he's trying his hardest on offense when LeBron is on the court. And he has to get his buckets the way whenever he can. and he's controlling. And I like how he's been more vocal too. Like he's sitting there talking, holding people accountable. Like you can hear him actually like yelling on the court, which I don't ever remember ever hearing AD like. I mean, of course, like yelling, get an and one and like stuff. He get fouled and stuff, but I never actually heard him like yell at teammates, hold teammates accountable. Like he always quiet and just, you just tell when his body language just be like, okay, like you know what I'm saying. Like you'll hear stuff like that, but you're actually hearing him like hold teammate accountable. Like come on. I remember it was one play. I think it was Austin Reeves who got beat on the back door, or let somebody get a wide open three, and he actually held him. Like you can hear him, like come on, Austin, come. Like, you know, I mean, he didn't say come on. He said a lot more words than that, but you actually heard him like look at him, point out frustration, tighten up, and then he still gave Austin Reeves the ball the next play. I think he had hit like a layup or something. So like you're still entrusting your teammates with the ability, but still holding them accountable when they mess up, and holding yourself accountable as well when you're accountable when you mess up. Cause that's the main thing is. You can't just say, oh, you doing bad, you doing this, you ain't doing that, and you're not holding yourself accountable as well. You have to hold yourself accountable and your teammates, and that's how you can get a better roster and a better teammate and a better communication between the team. And you'll have nobody trying to be over anybody else, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know AD and LeBron is the main two guys on the team. That's no doubt about it, but you still have to have them other guys there to chip in and be what they need to do. It was. I haven't seen Damon Jones play a lot. Like I mentioned, Austin Reeves, yes, he had some bad plays, but his defense is very better than I would. His defense is actually kind of good. His defense is actually doing a lot better than I expected this year. Matt Ryan, who's out there, we need him to hit more threes. I said we, like I'm a Lakers fan, but we need him to hit more. He need him to hit some more threes to be even more consistent at what you need. This is what he here for. Excuse me. And then like they playing probably they playing like the defense is nice. They just gotta hit down from three. Once they start hitting threes, I feel like they'll be a lot better team than what they are right now. They just gotta start hitting some threes. That's all. That's what's really holding them back. Like dumb turnovers here and there, that's what's holding them back as well. But it's not nothing. And then Darvin Ham getting his first win. Pop it up. Love to see Darvin Ham get his first win. Former Hawks coach, and it's just nice to see him get his first win of the season. Everybody was looking happy last game. Hopefully they can keep this up, because you want the team like Lakers be good, man. As always, you want to see LeBron play in the playoffs. You want to see AD play when Russell's locked in, when he's on his game. You want to see Russell play Patrick Beverly, get on people's nerves, Lonnie Walker, Austin Reeves. You want to see these people, JTA, and then whenever one of their centers come back, we want to see what Thomas Bryant can do in this system. And mostly hoping maybe they can trade for somebody. Who knows? Maybe they can get Miles Turner or Buddy Hill. Who knows? Or even both. I don't see it happening unless they. I don't see it happening. But if they can, hey, by all means, do it. I mean, you won't have any. I mean, you still have LeBron can run point. You have AD, you can run the offense through. You have Lonnie, who can handle the ball. Patrick Beverly, Buddy Hill, you don't really want him playing on ball. You want him more off ball, coming off screens, being a off ball mover, shooter, movement shooter. So I wonder how that would work if they do end up trading Russell. I wonder how that would work with them too. But having Miles Turner would be great for AD, because I know he get tired of playing center. He won't be on the four. But how much of AD you want AD guarding perimeter guards all over the place? I mean, perimeter players at the four. But there really isn't too many good fours in the league though. So it really won't be. You got John Collins and Giannis, Josh Jackson. But I mean, not Josh Jackson, Jaren Jackson, Draymond, but he's not no offensive. But most of fours are actually better defensively, probably besides John Collins, better defensively than offensively. I mean, of course, you got Giannis, who's just a freak. Evan Mobley, who's probably one of the top 10 power, like, he's not really a bunch of power four at the top of my head, who's just great. So, a lot of power fours are probably just 3-and-D players or 6'8 and 6'9 player, and they're not gonna be able to stop AD at all. It's not gonna be nowhere close to even guarding AD, not even a little bit. So, we'll see how that works out. Second quarter, some breaking news that just recently happened. 76ers getting stripped of their, 2 second round draft pick, 2023 and 2024. I just did a video on my YouTube channel, Casual Hoops. If you want to check that out, go check that out. That's on you. You don't have to if you don't want to, you feel me? But now they only have, they have one first round draft pick they can trade. In 2000, that's like a 2027, 2029, something crazy. I think it's pretty far. Then they only have 2 second round picks they can draft. That's next year. No, it's this year. Yeah, I think it's this year and like 2027. Yeah, it's something far, but I don't, I mean, how do y'all think about this? Y'all think this was too much, just enough? I feel like, I mean, it's second round pick, so it really doesn't mean anything like that. Not really like crazy amount, but I mean, you could use that for draft picks. Like, they only have first round draft pick they can trade anyway, so I don't understand what the lot they can really trade for that could like put them over the hump. Even though they want it for right now, so they're not as good as I thought it was gonna be right now. But I feel like they'll get together eventually. If not, Doc is probably gonna get fired. No cap, they don't get it together. This may be Doc last year. No cap. No cap. But it's not nothing really crazy. It's talking about taking New York pick as well, New York Knicks pick, and I don't. Do y'all see New York getting a because of Jalen Brunson tampering thing? But I mean, we all knew 76ers was tampering though. You know, James Harden took a pay cut. Why would he take a pay cut after the season he just had? I'd be like, if I just had a season, he still didn't have an awful season, still had a good season compared to other NBA players, but for him, it was a bad season. If I just had one of my worst seasons of my careers, and you think I'm finna take a pay cut, you crazy. This is probably my last big bag. This is my last biggest bag I'm finna get. I'm not finna take a pay cut, but you know they probably been talking to PJ, talking to Daniel House, talking to these players before. Yeah, I don't think it's gonna be too bad for them. But take 2 second round pick, it really ain't really nothing. They ain't had no picks in a way like that because they done traded most of their picks, so they ain't really had no picks to work with nothing in. And how much is a second round pick that valuable to them? Because clearly they haven't been drafting that well. Besides literally Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. And Birkin Komans, who hardly ever plays. Matisse Thybulle, yeah, but they not even getting playing time now. Just about everybody. Paul Reed, yeah, and did they draft Paul Reed? Yeah, they drafted Paul Reed. Charles Bassey hasn't. I don't think Charles Bassey has played. Isaiah Joe was, but what's the other dude they drafted a couple years? Jaden Springer. I think they cut him or he's not playing. So they draft picks really hasn't done them. Besides, of course, you got Tyrese Maxey playing out of his rabbit mind. Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid, who's been playing nice. But a lot of their draft picks haven't been swinging like that. And Paul Reed was a second round pick, so he's the only second round pick that has done anything. So yeah, I don't really think 2 second round picks are really that important compared to getting PJ Tucker, Anthony Melton, Daniel House, and who else? Did they get anybody else? PJ Tucker, Daniel House, Anthony Melton, and Montrezl Harrell. But I don't think Montrezl was part of that thing. I think they was gonna get Montrezl, regardless of however that would have worked out. So that's the second quarter. Third quarter is. So I'll put them together. Kyrie and Josh Primo's thing. I'm not gonna go in depth to it, but I'm just gonna go over it briefly. You seen what Josh Primo did. He was allegedly, you know what I'm saying, doing whatever he was doing. Kyrie just doing the anti-Semitic stuff. Kyrie, I'm gonna be honest about it with Kyrie. Josh Primo, whatever, he just had something wrong with that guy. He threw his life away. But even see him working as a CDL driver. Nothing against CDL drivers, nothing, but it's a little joke Twitter be saying. I'll be a CDL driver, you tripping. But Kyrie, I wouldn't be surprised after this year Kyrie retire. Like, I dead would not be surprised if we see Kyrie just retire and don't be, because he knows the plot. Like, it's really hard to understand what be going through that man head. Like, I understand he wanna be in touch with his ancestors, in touch with like his past and his mother. I think he really just never really consolidated what happened to him in his life and what's going on with him. But he, like, certain I understand where he coming from his perspective of trying to learn what his past is and what his ancestors, his name and his ability and where he came from. I'm sure people in his corner telling him keep going, but at the same time, certain stuff you have to keep to yourself. It's just the way it is in life. Certain stuff you just got to learn on your own and keep it within your immediate self. Definitely, we have a platform such as big as Kyrie's. He doesn't have a platform. With on other case, he's saying he got a platform. So it's very, very, very convoluted for what he be saying. But like stuff like anti-Semitic, going against other people, traditions that has suffered, if not as much, not as suffered like black people has, is like, why would you post something like that? Like, and when you kept it up at that, like, you could have just said, even if you don't feel like that, in the media's tense, you could have said, I didn't understand the context of what actually happened. Because he said he don't agree with Alex Jones, but you still kept that up and posted that. You could have been like, I didn't fully understand. I just took out a piece of a segment of the book instead of actually doing my due diligence and reading the whole book. You know what I'm saying? Doing something that's actually could save face. But no, you want to argue with a reporter, keep going back and forth, and then try to blame it on the reporter. Nah, bro, that's on you. You're honest, and we're all human. But if somebody like this makes a mistake at their job, they don't have the ability, like, you gotta really keep your job. If somebody else found out like this, you working a regular 9-to-5, you probably get fired. You had like certain bosses or certain people in your circle that felt offended by that, they wouldn't want, because it would be a toxic work environment. You know what I'm saying? So like, he doesn't feel like he's accountable for a lot of things, which I feel like someone in his corner or somebody should be telling him. But at the same time, it's always like he's trying to find who he is as a person, because he's been this big basketball superstar for the longest, but he probably never felt like he knew who himself was, which I could completely understand, I can relate to. But at the same time, you have to realize you're a role model to people. You're $1 million athlete who's on the face of the world with all the drama, with all the drama that's already on the team. You're in a big market in Brooklyn. It's not like, at least like his first couple years in Cleveland, he wasn't in a big market because it was just him. And then what happened with the Boston shit, it's like, it's something every time. It's like, at this point, it's like, do you want this attention? Because you know what's going to happen when you say certain things. You know what's going to happen when you do certain things. You know what's going to happen. You've seen what happened with Kanye already, and you're going to do this as well. You've seen what happens when you do things that true to you. Now, I understand you chase, stay true to yourself, but it's a way you can stay true to yourself without being letting everybody, like, you can just be quiet. Like, you don't know how to just be yourself without making a splash or making contact or making it seem like you want attention. Just be yourself. Like, I'm sure LeBron has things that he don't agree with. I'm sure Kobe had things he don't agree with. Michael, Nikola Jokic, Giannis, anybody else, you can name any superstar in NBA history. But they know how to maneuver their way through it and not know how to get involved within things. And if it's something they don't agree with, like, you don't have like friends you can talk to, like in the circle you can talk to. Like, it's kind of weird. Like, you don't have people you can just vent to. Like, why do you have to put it on social media? Like, you always saying you don't like social media. Like, me myself, I don't like social media. But why are you having to keep constantly put things, trying to seek? It's like you're just seeking for attention, seeking for something, a validation from somebody or someone, and we don't know what it is. But that's my take on the Kyrie situation. Josh Primo, I'm not gonna talk about that. That horny guy. You know, I don't even want to talk about him. Be honest with you. Just be honest with you. I'm be honest. Fourth quarter, last quarter, we're gonna talk about. Let's talk about Donovan Mitchell. Been out here going crazy, man. Averaging 30 points for every single game. He be going crazy out here, and I feel like he's not, even without Darius Garland. I feel like he's not really getting the respect that he deserved this year. And I mean, Utah been going stupid too, but I feel like people not really realize what's going on. Like, I know it's still early in the season, so I try to overlook a thing, over exaggerate things, but he been going crazy, and Utah been going, because I want to like combine Utah, Donovan Mitchell, and Rudy Gobert all in one quarter, because they connect in a certain way. So we all know Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert is on Utah for X amount of years, right? And we all know Rudy Gobert didn't have great defenders around him, and they always said, hey, if I had some better perimeter defender, I would have to do all this. Cool. Now, it seems like once you get Rudy Gobert, who's a top 5-10 defense on his own, I still feel like he's a great defender. He just can't guard perimeter defenders. But I feel like he himself is a system, and you have to get the players around him to fit that specific system. And it seems like teams don't know how to put that around him. Like, he's one of the greatest drop defenders ever. We know this. We know he can't guard a perimeter. So why would you put a center next to him who's not able to be flexible and guard? Rudy Gobert cannot guard a bunch of different positions. He's just not a Bam Adebayo type center. He's not an Al Horford type center. He's not these centers that can guard multiple positions and play the perimeter and the inside of the paint, and who's fast and athletic. You know what I'm saying? He's just not that. That's not who he is. That's not what he wants to be. You can use him as a Brook Lopez type build. I mean, of course, not everyone's going to have a Giannis next to him, but even a Robert Williams. Put a center power forward next to him who's able to still be a big body if you can and still guard multiple positions. They put in Cat next to him who cannot, I know they don't play them a lot, but Cat next to him, Cat cannot guard me. Okay, he can definitely guard me, but he cannot guard an average NBA player. He just can't. It's awful. His spatial awareness is bad on defense. Anthony Edwards, I don't know what happened, but it's like his defense took a little bit of a step back. This year, not a crazy amount, but it seemed like once they got Gobert, it's like they start pressing up more. I mean, they always had that heavy blitz style defense, but without Gobert, you're not playing a blitz style defense. You're playing more of a drop coverage, but you're still pressing tight on the ball handlers. And it's like, they're playing even more tighter because they know they have Gobert back there. And if I had Gobert too, I would be too, because Rudy Gobert, who's a freaking defensive top five defense on his own. However, it's like you know the system you need with him. D'Angelo Russell, all the improvements he's made on defense, he's not a good on-ball defender. He's a great off-ball defender. Anthony Edwards, not a great off-ball defender, but a good on-ball defender. Jaden McDaniels can do both. Jordan McLaughlin, I feel like he's good. Jalen Noel, solid. Cat is pitiful. Tareem Prince is okay. He's solid. He's all right. He still has his lapses at times. So they got solid defenders around him. But his system isn't right. You know what I'm saying? He needs a system like Boston or a system like the Bucks have, like, have him a switchable four and a bunch of guys who can press tight and still can play defense. And so he can just, you can funnel. It's not like they're not funneling guys to him. They just let them people go by him and get to him. Like, let funnel people, like how people funnel. And look, matter of fact, I know he's not like Robert Williams in the fact. Like, Robert Williams, actually, I feel like he's faster, more athletic than him, than Rudy Gobert, because he's able to play off ball and still come down to the paint and help out. Like, Boston, they'll put him on the worst shooter on the floor, like in the corner, or the worst shooter, and he'll just roam around, not really guard that guy, or just, you know what I'm saying, not pay attention a little bit, not really. But Rudy Gobert, spatial awareness, I feel like, in the perimeter, is not as good as Robert Williams. This is better in the paint, but not as a perimeter and around the court. So, and turning into that, we're going to go to the Jazz, who's been playing out of their rabbit minds. I said earlier that they had two dudes that led the fouls per game. Jerry Vanderbilt used to play for Utah. Not Utah, Jesus Christ, played for Minnesota. And Kelly Olynyk, was he there? I don't think he was there last year. Lauri Markkanen playing out of his mind. Colin Sexton's playing solid. Jordan Clarkson is having a renaissance career. I'm surprised they haven't tried to trade him yet. Mike Conley's is playing swell.
Don't forget, like, share, comment, send voice messages. And don't forget to go to my YouTube. It's going to be in the description. Hey, Orlando. Don't forget to like, comment, share, subscribe, all that to that. Don't forget to go to Instagram. If you want to join the podcast on special guest Sundays or Mondays, don't forget to go Southside Apparel, shop for merch. All right, we y'all on. All right, I'll catch up with y'all.